Yeah, it's the Ringside Report MMA Halloween special. We're previewing UFC 267. Let's do it!
Let's go!
Or let's go, you know, whatever you want to do. Adrian in the house, or is that Khabib? Who are you?
Hey, David Seaman, thank you for the invitation. I bring a little friend. I smash you, Dave. I smash you.
You know who I am? You see who I am?
What are you? You're a pony. You are a stripper in Moscow.
I'm Yoshi.
Dancing. That was my third guess. Yoshi. Nice. Nice. Imagery.
Yeah. What are
Where's
you?
Where's that friend?
Are you Khabib? What's with the sunglasses? I don't see Khabib with sunglasses.
No. Khabib wears sunglasses. Are you kidding? Of course Khabib wears sunglasses.
Shout
it's
out
Khabib,
to,
man. He's cool.
Shout out to Lior. Shout out to Angelo, members of the team on the chat already. They like the costumes. They like it. We're the Halloween spirit, baby. Crack open some M&Ms. Let's have a little Halloween fiesta. We're going to talk about UFC 267.
You think it's easy to type with these things? You think it's easy?
You're wearing
the
MMA
sacrifices
clothes.
We do for the show. and a jock strap. You think it's easy? Listen, man, I'm at the full gear today, man. Full. The only thing I haven't done where most people haven't seen is like me running on the streets like dressed as Khabib. But that'll happen again. I just need my I need my muscle to help me. Like direct traffic anyways. Dude, today is the least I'll be honest. Is not here. Fred Garcia has COVID again, so he's not gonna be here again tonight.
Incorrect. That's lies.
But don't say I smash you, Dave Seaman. I smash you.
I'll eat you and spit you out like an egg. How about
this
that?
This man is a liar. This man's a liar.
I'm not worried
this
about
this man.
I'm not worried about Khabib over here. I eat things and then I spit them out my butt as an egg and then I use that egg as a weapon. don't mess with Yoshi, okay?
Kind of sounds like John Jones. But listen,
what?
Man, what a crazy week.
When did John Jones shoot eggs out of his butt? What are you talking about?
Well, he actually shot bullets at some homeless guy, apparently. I'm not saying that was factual, apparently. That's all like it's hearsay. But rumor has it that a homeless guy dodged a bullet. Because if it was Khabib don't do this shit. Khabib is number one. Number one. Not me. No.
A lot of Khabib's buddies are fighting this weekend. A lot of like Khabib
man, it's going to be a Khabib smash. Dude, it's crazy. It's going to be a Khabib Halloween smash festival. It's ridiculous. It's all of Khabib's team there. I mean, it's going to be a Russian Dagestan dissection. If you want to win money this weekend.
Yeah.
Just anybody who has a Russian name that's linked to Khabib, Dagestan, they're winning. They're going to win no matter what. They'll fight with a broken leg, broken arm, and they're still going to win.
Yeah,
These guys are incredible. And
pick all these guys. Guys like Shamil Gamzatov, Magomed Ankalaev, Khamzat Chimaev, Islam Makhachev. Guys with EV at the end of their names.
Beautiful.
Those guys are going to win. All the EVs are winning. You got
That's
Chimaev,
why I got my e-gloves.
Chimaev, Ankalaev, and Makhachev. All the Evs. I got all the Evs this weekend.
The what?
All the Fs. The EVs. Makhachev, Chimaev, and Ankalaev. The Fs. The three Ev brothers.
Dude, you know what? Listen, man, I'm going to tell you something. When we saw them fighting in Abu Dhabi, it was Abu Dhabi when Khabib brought his whole team and he just smashed everybody that was in that fight event with the UAE Warriors. You recall a couple of months back? I mean, that's when you can see all these up-and-comers coming with Team Khabib. And let me tell you, man, there's no better coach out there than Khabib. He's one guy that knows the game. He knows how to motivate people. And he definitely knows how to train people. There's no doubt about it. I mean, these guys are like this is going to be the easiest money you can win by just going with all the EVs. That's it, man. I agree with you. Listen, man, you're looking at Islam, who's probably going to be the future lightweight champion. Like, I think in a short period of time, if it doesn't happen before 2021, it's going to happen in early 2022. Like, you called Islam. You've been calling Islam, I think, from the beginning. You had Islam as, like, a future champion. You called Magomed as a future champion. I mean, and look where they are, man. They're fighting on, like, a pay-per-view, 267. And, I mean, there's a reason why these guys are on 267. There's a reason why all of Dagestan and, like, Russian fighters are on this card. Because they're going to be showcased for 2022, man. It's going to be the... It's going to be the explosion of all Dagestan fighters. It used to be Brazil, but now it's going to be...
I just got a glimpse of your face. You just look so ridiculous. I can't think. You're just going on and on. You look so crazy.
Dude, I feel crazy. I'm wearing a jock strap. You think I'm fooling around?
What?
Khabib don't fool around. Khabib will choke anybody out. I feel like running the streets and choking someone out just for the hell of it. But we don't do that. Oh, my name is not Connor. My name
Fred
is not Connor.
Here. I wish Fred was here so we could see Fred's costume.
What's up with Freddy?
We're going to have different costumes on Saturday, too. Don't forget to watch the show Saturday. We're also going to be in costume, but different costumes, AJ. You have to switch it up.
No, no. Khabib don't change for nobody. Khabib today, Khabib tomorrow, Saturday. In fact, Khabib is going to be like this at his other work. Tomorrow, Khabib is going to be with... scaring the little kids at his work. They're going to see me and they're going to be like, what's with the white hair? I'm going to tell them, it's not white hair, my friend. It's Khabib. It's Khabib.
Oh,
number one.
You're killing me tonight. I love it.
Listen, I was going to say, so Freddie couldn't make it tonight because of, like, you know.
He's got kids
it's very rare
and
that
things are happening,
up,
you know. Fred can't be here because he's got a family thing. He had to take care of his kids, basically. He'll be with us on Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, by the way, Saturday afternoon. We're going to be here doing the UFC 267 watch-along right here on the Ringside Report Network. I like talking about serious MMA and, like, doing the serious MMA thing with a Yoshi head. I like doing this as Yoshi.
Dude, the Yoshi's
amazing,
man. I think
I should just keep this permanently.
You know,
I'm Yoshi now.
Listen, this is what we got to do. Our next – listen, I know Angelo's listening. I know that. And you know what? What we're going to do is our next hour, we're going to dress up in costume. You're going to be Yoshi. Somebody's going to have to be – it's not going to be me. And don't be like, because I'm Italian, I got to be Mario or Luigi. It's not happening. I'm going as Khabib.
You should be
but
like –
but we got to go to like a –
Waluigi or Wario. Wow.
Or Khaliji. You know, Khaliji. I'll be Khaliji. I can do that. Listen, we got to go to a – to go-kart track and like dress up with a Ringside Report stuff and like, you know, do with like John Hedstrom did at the Man in His World. He was wearing Ringside Report promoting. Well, us, we're not promoting shit. Fans promote for us. We got to start promoting, dude. If anybody has a good suggestion or whatnot, other than my go-kart thing, and we can all meet up there and like,
nah, I don't know what
race
and about.
Like, come on, that'll.
Okay. Cool. I don't
know
what you're
talking
about.
I
don't know what you're talking about. You're just going off about go-karting. Why are you talking about go-karting right now?
Yeah, because you're Yoshi, man.
Okay.
Yoshi go-karts, man.
What's that game called?
Even Khabib knows that.
What's the game called?
Mario Brother Kart.
What?
David Seaman.
What?
Number one.
That's not what
number
it's called.
Number one.
That's not what it's called. What did you
in
call it?
In my world, it's called that. I don't
Mario
care.
Mario Brother Kart? That's not the name
yeah,
of the
something
game.
Something like that. I don't know, man.
You didn't even know who I was.
Where's my...
You don't know who the
yes,
Mario
I did. You told me. You're a dinosaur.
I told you. I'm not a... He's not a dinosaur. He's a dragon, first of all. Yoshi's a dragon.
That's close enough.
Everybody
are you joking
that.
Or what, man? Are you serious?
Are you serious, Khabib? Khabib D'Alessio? All right.
Man, listen, tonight, I'm going to tell you something, Dave. Today, I'm the least prepared than I've ever been on the show.
Well, then let
I'm
me fucking talk. Shut up for a second. Let me get to the next topic. You know what I mean?
Okay, Yoshi. Don't be racist to the Mario and Luigi guys of the world just because I'm Italian, but.
Well, stop riding on my back and maybe we won't have such a big problem.
Oh, listen, before you go on your rant, can I just say one thing?
I'm not going on a rant.
The reason
I wanted
why
to bring up
no.
a few things that we're going to talk about tonight.
Can
we're
I just
preview
say
UFC
one last thing, I promise.
267.
One,
no.
One, okay.
Did you see PFL last night?
One thing, please. You know what? I saw the highlights
of it.
No.
Pay attention.
No, listen. I saw the highlights. But wait, one last thing before you say anything. Please, please, David Seaman, please let me say one thing. I want to wish my nephew, young Mika, a happy 16th birthday. That's why young Khabib here himself, young Khabib Velezio, was busy ice cream cake from Baskin and Robbins. And if you don't know what Baskin and Robbins is, man, number one, come and sponsor on the Ringside Report Show. So, Mika,
Baskin
happy birthday.
Baskin Robbins is.
Listen, people from the States that watch our show, people from Ireland that
they
watch our show,
Baskin
people from Japan,
Robbins.
They have no clue Baskin and Robbins.
Yeah, they do.
No, come on. Maybe
it's in
like
the
Dairy
States?
Queen. No,
you think
no,
Baskin
no.
Robbins
think so.
Is only in Canada? Everybody knows about the 31 flavors.
Imagine.
Everybody knows. Baskin Robbins is an American franchise, AJ. Get your shit together.
Are you sure, bud?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, man.
Also, your internet's all choppy tonight. You suck. Get your internet together.
What? What do you mean it's choppy?
I don't know. You're a little choppy. You're not as smooth as you should be, as you normally are. Something's wrong with your internet.
I usually am.
Get it together. You're choppy tonight.
There's nothing. There should be. No, there shouldn't be anything under. Well, if there's anybody that's on the network in my family, get off!
Well, you should tell them.
Sorry, Dave. Go right ahead.
So you didn't see PFL last night. That's too bad. Kayla Harrison
no, but I know.
Wins. She looks amazing. She wins in the main event, the PFL. Yeah, happy birthday, Mika, by the way. The PFL women's lightweight tournament. The problem is with Kayla Harrison is, you know, she can only really do that division in the PFL. It's not many MMA promotions that offer the 155-pound division for women, you know, UFC doesn't do it. The highest they go is 145, and even they have trouble putting, you know, people in that division. So there's just not a lot of talent at 155 pounds. Kayla Harrison is one of the most talented mixed martial artists, period, on the planet. She's a two-time Olympic gold medalist in judo. She is a now two-time PFL tournament champion. She just won $1 million in under 5 minutes last night, or maybe I think it was the second round. Kayla got the armbar, so it's just over 5 minutes, but didn't take her that long. Won $1 million in the tournament, and she's just unstoppable, undefeated. The problem is, it seems like she can't really get to 145 pounds. It might be tough for her to do that weight cut. I don't know if it's worth it. I'd like to see her try, you know, and maybe fight Amanda Nunes, because to me, that's one of the biggest fights that you could make right now would be Nunes and Kayla Harrison. Maybe Cyborg and Kayla Harrison too, but in my mind, Amanda Nunes is the number one, and Kayla is one of the best in the world. So I was really impressed with her at PFL, and you know, I look forward to seeing what she does next. The problem is the weight division that she fights in, there's just not tons of competition, not a lot of MMA promotions offer a lot of fights at 155. For women. But she's awesome. So that was nice. Nice to see her win. Ray Cooper with a nice knockout victory. Oof. There. That guy,
he's
Ray
so
Cooper,
good,
is
this guy, man.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I love watching him fight. Not only is he good, but he's just very exciting. You know? The guy.
But
every fight
he's so
he has,
well-rounded, dude.
Yeah, but that's it. Every fight he has is just so exciting. He just goes for it. He's always looking for the finish. And he's well-rounded. So he can find that finish anywhere the fight goes. You know, if it's standing up, if it's on the ground, this guy is ready to finish the fight in numerous different ways. He's got great wrestling. He's got great boxing. Gets the knockout of Magomed Karimov last night. Third round knockout. He wins himself $1 million. It was the PFL finals. It was good stuff. Bruno Capoloza won the heavyweight finals, beating Ante D'Elia. And Movid Kabulayev beat Chris Wade to win the featherweight finals. He wins himself $1 million as well. And then Abigail Montez beats Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields,
a
multiple world champion in boxing. You could see in her first MMA fight that she wasn't really well-rounded, but on the feet, she's obviously got a huge advantage, and she loses a split decision to Abigail Montez last night in her second pro outing. I think it's a setback for Clarissa Shields, but she's such a great athlete, and she's still so young at 26 years old that I think that she can, you know, shore up some of the holes in her grappling game to get it close, at least, to her boxing game over the years if she really dedicates herself to MMA, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years. she could be very good. This is a loss. She didn't get finished. You know, it's a setback, but I think she can come back and still be an important player in MMA.
Look, man, that was the biggest shock to me. Like, I thought she was going to do a lot better than the first fight, which she did. She fought a really good first fight in the PFL. She doesn't have the experience in the grappling game, and that's what made her lose the second fight. There's no doubt about it. In the clinch game, she was not able to get out. Like, the wrestling game, I mean, it's a different world. But if people don't know who Clarissa Shields is, like, she's like a medalist. The girl is like super good boxer. She can knock out most guys. And what will probably motivate her is somebody like Jake Paul. And here we go. Yeah, Jake Paul. But Jake Paul came out and he started trashing Clarissa Shields, saying this is what the fakes are all about. They get exposed. They're no good. Clarissa Shields sucks.
Really?
This is what it's all about.
Why?
Yeah, Jake Paul came out and already says that, like,
MMA. Why doesn't he try it?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that he's jumping at her boxing skills, saying that her boxing skills are not what they're up to par. Listen, it's a game. You know, Jake Paul can talk all the shit he wants, and I like Jake Paul. Like, honestly, I know.
You like Jake Paul. You bring him up every show.
Yeah, but
you don't shut up about
him. Listen, but this comes up now. But listen, he started trashing Clarissa Shields, which I thought wasn't cool, because at least Clarissa is in MMA. She's got her second fight. People could have trashed CM Punk. But you know what? CM Punk was there and he fought two fights. Like, with some guys trashing these guys. MMA is a different world. And you know what? Clarissa Shields is going to grow. She's going to get better. She needs to really get with a better team in the grappling department. And she's super young. But no one can outmatch her boxing skills. You want to box Jake Paul, Clarissa Shields? Yeah, you've got a big weight advantage. But I can tell you, man, this girl she can knock out most guys. But you know what? Jake Paul is relevant again, man. He's trashing, and maybe if Clarissa Shields hears all that, which I'm sure she did, it'll motivate her to, like, come back in her third fight in the PFL and come back to win. And just going back to Cooper, I mean, Cooper, this guy, you know, he's another guy that's, like, he's not a free agent, apparently. Some people are saying he is. I'm not sure if he is or if he's not. But right away, he's already challenging Usman. He's saying, I could go to the UFC and I can smash Usman. And to be honest, if you don't know who Ray Cooper is,
let's do
it. If you've seen his fights,
let's do it.
Dude, he's amazing, man. Like, honestly,
that's the fight. Woo!
That's the fight, man.
Oh, my God.
Now, you want somebody.
You just got me excited, AJ. Let's see that.
Look, he's calling it. And if he's really a free agent, I'm sure Dana White right now is with his management team saying, listen, let's get this mofo into the UFC. You know what? Ben Askren was awesome, but he didn't deliver what he was supposed to, but he still brought in the pay-per-view numbers. But Ray Cooper is the real deal, dude. This guy has it all. If he comes into the UFC, if there's one guy that I think he can beat, Usman. And I'm serious, man. This guy is that good. He's so impressive. It's ridiculous.
Damn, that'd be a good fight.
Dude, he's calling it, man. It could happen.
Fedor, man.
It could happen.
You called it last week.
What the hell? Listen, man, I told you about Fedor, and people don't realize that. At 45 years old, the guy is still the emperor for a reason. Yeah, he's had a couple of bad fights here and there. Who hasn't? George St. Peter's had bad fights. You know, he lost to Matt Serra.
Not as bad as
Fedor.
And I love
Matt Serra. Not as bad as Fedor. There were a few times that the fight got stopped a little too early. You know what I'm talking about. Fedor was okay, but they stopped the fight. But regardless, when Fedor comes and you're fighting in Russia and you're fighting in front of a Russian crowd that loves everything that Fedor represents, I'm telling you, man, he's so dangerous, man. When that punch hits, it's like getting hit by a tanker, man.
Yeah.
You're down. You know, Thompson didn't even realize what. Holy shit, man. He set it up with a jab and then boom, it's all over. And that's the thing with Fedor. I thought he was going to probably retire. You never know. He's 45. But this is the thing with The Last Emperor. You know, it's just a shame that we didn't get to see this guy holding a UFC championship belt, because in his prime, there's no person on this earth who could have beat Fedor when he's in his prime. When Fedor was at heavyweight or light heavyweight, dude, it's hard, man. Come on. Fedor in his prime. I'm not talking Fedor at 45, who still could knock out just about anybody. A guy who was much bigger than him, he knocked out flat last week. What I'm saying is Fedor at 30 years, sorry, at 25 years old, 26 years old, 27-year-old Fedor. Man, let's not forget like those fights in Japan. Holy smokes. Actually,
sure,
I got
like,
it here, man.
Yeah,
you know?
But you could always talk about some guys in the UFC that might have given him some trouble. You never got to see the Prime Couture versus Prime Fedor. I would have liked to have seen that.
Look at that, dude. Look at the lineup that's at that heavyweight, like, you know.
I know, I
Grand
was there.
Prix.
I
that's
gave
not
that
a
to
joke.
You.
Were you? Well,
yeah,
you did give this
I
to me, man.
I gave that to you. I was
you
there.
You were there to see
that's
this.
My program. I saw Fedor Jeez. Fight. I saw Fedor lost to Bigfoot Silva. I was at that fight.
Number one.
When Fedor
Russia.
Got beat. I saw Fedor get his ass kicked by Bigfoot Silva. It was devastating.
Yeah, but Bigfoot Silva at that time was in his prime as well. That's what most people don't realize.
Yeah,
Bigfoot
he beat
Silva,
up Fedor.
Like looking at him in the latter. Yeah, like
yeah,
in his
then,
latter years, you're like, oh, man.
And then next fight, Bigfoot Silva got absolutely smashed by Daniel Cormier. So that tells you
Daniel
what you
Cormier.
Need to know. Daniel Cormier.
No,
is real.
And it just goes to show
he
you.
He would have smashed Fedor too.
Daniel Cormier
prime,
is the
Prime DC
Listen,
destroys
man.
Prime Fedor all day, every day.
No, Prime DC
kills
Prime
Fedor.
DC smashes Jon Jones, in my
and,
opinion.
No,
Prime
that's,
DC.
I don't agree. Fedor, though,
I
he
agree
would destroy.
With that.
But Fedor looked great, man. I love seeing it. I love seeing that classic Fedor knockout. I thought Timothy Johnson was going to beat him. I thought Fedor had nothing left. You see Fedor's chin is not what it used to be. He's been knocked out a few times in the past few years. But, hey, he still got that power, and he looked great on Saturday. I was happy to see Fedor get the win. A little bit mad because I lost a little money betting on Tim Johnson. But we won most of it back. With the Marvin Vettori fight a little bit later on in the day. So everything kind of
wow.
evened out for us there with Marvin Vettori over Paulo Costa. A fight
Italia!
That we all predicted correctly as well last week. We were unanimous, all three of us, Freddie, AJ, and myself, going with Vettori over Paulo Costa. And it was a pretty sound victory. You know, Costa landed some power shots, but he looked like he got tired a little bit after the first couple of rounds. He slowed down. The pop wasn't there, and Vettori is just so tough
what?
To put away, man. That's the thing with Marvin Vettori. You see him through, what was it, over
the shin
eight,
kick.
Eight
you
rounds.
The shin
eight
kick
rounds.
The
guy fought eight rounds with Israel Adesanya, and Israel Adesanya, one of the best finishers in the game, couldn't put him away, and he hit him with some serious shots, you know? And when you see Israel Adesanya in two fights with Marvin Vettori, go the distance and land some good shots, not like... You know, Israel wasn't landing some of his better strikes against Marvin Vettori in their two fights, and Vettori just doesn't go down. He doesn't go anywhere. So Paulo Costa wasn't going to put him away either. Costa's got tons of power, but it wasn't enough.
But it came close.
It wasn't enough. And I worry about Marvin Vettori. Like, a guy like Marvin Vettori, he's 28 years old. You know, I don't think he's ever been knocked out. And he's obviously got a great chin. But we've seen guys with great chins at 28 years old. And then at 32... Well, their button just gets pushed and it's over. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fight this way forever. Marvin Vettori is very game and he's got a great chin. But fighters with great chins aren't necessarily fighters that are going to last long term. You know, you gotta protect yourself a little bit. And I wish that Marvin Vettori was a little bit more apprehensive about taking some of those big shots from Costa. I feel like he wades into the fire because he knows he can take it. But goddamn, man, why take it? You know, it's the style that he fights,
look,
but it's not a style. Like, I don't think Marvin Vettori will ever beat Israel Adesanya because, you know, over time his skills are going to deteriorate because a big part of what makes him so dangerous is his ability to take a punch. And that's, to me, not something that will last for a very long time.
Yeah, but
we've
seen
it coming
up.
Remember
hold
Chris Lieben? You
no.
know what I mean? Chris Lieben could
Absolutely.
Take a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like a very high-rated middleweight at one time, and he could really take a shot until he couldn't take a shot, and then it was over. Chuck Liddell, you know? Chuck Liddell, he had a great chin, tremendous chin, and then he didn't, and then it was over. I saw Minotauro, you know, Nogueira. The guy had a tremendous chin, could take a vicious beating, and then at a certain point, he couldn't anymore, and then... Wheels fall off.
Look, it's like our hometown, like Pat Cote. Pat Cote was considered like Iron Shin. You could nail Pat with just about anything, and he wouldn't go down. But at one point, if I'm not mistaken, it was Cowboy Cerrone that like leveled him, and it was the first time that Pat Cote got TKO'd. And, you know, For sure. Once the jaw goes away from a power fighter, a guy that like puts his face in and just goes like telephone booth crazy, and you can't knock him out, it can only last for so long. There's wear and tear. We see that with Fedor. We saw that with a lot of fighters like you were mentioning. But there's something about Marvin Vettori in the last fight. Yeah, he did get connected. Not as much as it seemed. He got clipped with that shin kick right to the head, where most people would have been lying out looking at the sun from their back over bonne nuit, good night.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He took that, man, like as if it was nothing. The guy has just more than a strong jaw. I mean, the guy is just, he can withstand a lot of pain. The difference is that he was a true professional throughout that fight, man. He stayed calm, even though he was getting connected. Because remember, as a southpaw, he was walking into those leg kicks. Like, they weren't going to the liver, but any of the leg kicks from Paulo Costa to the liver would have been good night as well. So there was that. Like, yeah, there were a few times that he didn't block those body shots from Costa, but he still played a really controlled game. Vettori, you know what? He's so well-rounded, man. You know, yeah. Costa did well in defending. Costa was, I think he's around 76, 77% takedown defense. And he proved it against Vettori because Vettori, man, comes in and he has like the record for most takedowns. I think it's 11 or something like that in one fight. But the thing is this, is that Vettori is just a smart fighter. He's a young fighter. He's a hungry fighter. And he can go up against the best. And going up against Paulo Costa, man, even though it went five rounds, I got to tip my hat to Paulo Costa. Because you know what? Overall, Paulo Costa tried to trick this fight. He tried to trick Vettori, tried to trick Dana White. He tried to trick everybody. Because like we all expected, he was going to be walking in at this fight at 211. He came in heavy. But like Vettori said, he came in prepared. He was ready to take this fight and to win. Because he looked like Jack like shit. He looked like Vito Belfort on TRT. No doubt about it, man. Costa was
overblown,
ripped,
though. And overblown. He was too big.
Holy dude, he was muscle bound, man. You're talking like, but he still did well considering he still went five rounds. And in the fifth round, he started to come back. You know, I think he took the fifth, but it was close. But Vettori, man, is a true professional in every way. Leading up to the fight, taking the fight where most guys would have never taken a fight when it's supposed to be at 185, then it went to 195, then 205.
That was crazy.
I mean, Vettori.
Ridiculous.
Vettori, nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever done that. And Dana White, you hear what he said? He's like, yeah. This guy is like amazing. This guy deserves everything. And that's what Vittori's going to do. He's going to get rewarded. He got his 50,000 post-fight bonus. He didn't get fight of the night, so he didn't have to pay Acosta. But he gave the post-fight bonus to Vettori, $50,000 plus 20% of the purse from Paulo Costa.
Yeah, which
Costa
is pretty
didn't
good.
Give a shit.
But Costa,
which
like,
is pretty
you know,
good.
I'm sure he's making like decent money. Paulo Costa taking 20% yep. of his money is like not a bad bonus. Like you beat the guy, you take 20% of his money, you get a UFC bonus. Like Marvin Vettori did the right thing in taking this fight, but Paulo Costa did the wrong thing in showing up way overweight and just seemingly not giving a shit. It was very strange, and Dana White's not happy about it, and Paulo Costa is still under contract with the UFC, but his next fight is going to be in the light heavyweight division. Can't fight a middleweight anymore.
Well, he thinks that he's going to go back to 185. Paulo Costa,
well, we'll
for some reason, he's kind of like lost in like space. Like he didn't understand that Vettori didn't really want to agree to the 195 or the 205. He thinks that Vettori was all cool with that. Vettori was cool about it because he wanted to fight, but he wasn't cool about wanting to fight at 205. But he still managed and he did extremely well. But Dana White liked the fight. Paulo Costa is going to get another few fights because he is exciting. But Vettori, man, is dangerous and he's coming and he's knocking on the door. And eventually they're going to have their first Italian UFC champion. I'm telling you, it's coming.
Nope.
Vettori is something.
Nope. He'll never beat
I'm
Israel
telling
Adesanya.
You, man.
He will never, ever, ever, ever,
dude,
ever
if he
in
could,
his
if
life.
He fought,
never in his life will he beat Israel Adesanya. And Israel Adesanya is going to be here for a long time, my friend. Never in his life.
Dude, I disagree on that, man. After seeing the first fight, now with Costa, going into the third fight, which will happen at some point, it might even happen before the end of this year.
Oh, you're crazy. No, you don't know what's going on right now. It can't.
Well,
because Israel Adesanya
for the new year
is fighting Robert Whittaker next. And it's going to happen sometime early 2022, January, February, maybe March, something like that. In the first quarter of 2022, it's going to be Robert Whittaker, Israel Adesanya in a trilogy fight. And, you know, that's happening. That's next. So, yeah, Vittoria's not getting another title shot. Vittoria's going to have to fight somebody else at middleweight. But I'll tell you this, and I will bet you anything, Marvin Vettori will never, ever, ever in his life beat Israel Adesanya. It doesn't mean he's a bad fighter. It doesn't mean anything negative about Marvin Vettori. It's just positive about Israel Adesanya, who is a once-in-a-generation performer and a tremendous mixed martial artist and a legend of the sport and a future Hall of Famer and a guy who's one of the greatest of all time. And until you recognize that, I don't know. I can't help you. But Israel Adesanya at middleweight is untouchable right now. Untouchable.
Listen,
no one
man,
is going near listen. Israel Adesanya. Get it together, AJ. I can't believe you said
Vittori's,
that.
Vittori is coming with a... Listen, man, I'm telling you.
Style bender
Vittori's
all day, every day. No.
Style is gonna get bended, man. On
That's
the next
what you
time
said
they
when
meet.
They fought the
you.
Last time, Jabroni. That's
still,
what you said when they
it.
Fought the last time. How did that go?
Israel
beat the
you.
Shit out of him, bro. Beat the
listen,
shit out of him.
He beat the shit. He still went the distance. But that's like a guy that was coming in. His first. Listen, I'm just telling you this. There's a lot more experience behind Vittori. A lot. You know, he understands how to fight.
50-45. 50-45. 50-45.
Yeah.
You know what that is going the distance? That's 5-0. 5-0 he
I'm
beat
gonna
him.
Tell you.
Unanimous.
Vittori,
all three judges scored it a clean sweep. Flawless victory.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But if Vittori fights the way he fought Paulo Costa,
he'll lose.
Okay. And
he fought Paulo Costa the way he fought Israel Adesanya. He fought
not
him the same
really,
way.
Man.
Yep. Same
no, I don't find. No. I don't find that at all, man. He just, I found it completely different. And I'm telling you this, if Whittaker is on paper, but I'm telling you, the moment that Whittaker can't get that fight, Vittori's stepping in, and we're going to see that fight for the new year. I'm telling you, I'm so confident
Wrong.
That Vittori's going to fight him again.
Wrong again, AJ.
Man,
let me tell you about Paulo
okay.
Costa. He just put
that's
himself
okay.
in a world of trouble. AJ, you're just wrong again, but that's cool. Hey, Paulo Costa
hey, listen,
put
how can I be wrong? I got my
five-fight
parlay right twice.
Yeah, and you didn't really. Paulo Costa's
yeah,
in
did,
a bad spot
fed,
now. Because, shit, you didn't get a good parlay last week. Your parlay got all busted up last week. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, thanks to the draw, but I got Fedor.
Thanks to a lot
Popo,
of things that
Fedor.
Happened that you picked wrong last week. You picked a lot of things wrong last week, AJ.
First time it's happened. In a long
Costa
time. My crystal
at
ball was
205.
Dirty.
Shut the fuck up. Costa at 205 is in big trouble.
You don't believe I have a crystal ball,
he's
eh?
He's such a big name. You know, like, people know Paulo Costa. He's going to have to fight somebody tough at 205 in his first time out. Like, he might have to fight Magomed Ankalaev or something in his first time out because he's going to have to fight somebody legit. He can't fight some jabroni at 205, but Paulo Costa doesn't really want to fight at 205. So his next fight is going to be tough, man. UFC is going to give him a really... tough fight at 205, and it's going to be not a good thing for Paulo Costa. This is a bad move showing up overweight because the UFC is in a spot where, you know, legitimately they can't put you in there against some no-name guy because you are Paulo Costa. You're a name guy. You just fought for the belt not long ago. You're main eventing UFC events. You know, you're a name people want to see, Paulo Costa. So you have to fight another guy who's kind of high profile. And if you're fighting somebody who's high profile, chances are they're going to be good. And they're going to be good in a weight division that you are not wanting to fight at. I don't know if he's undersized for 205. I'd have to see him against some of these 205ers. But, you know, he doesn't want to fight at light heavyweight, but he's going to have to. And it's going to be against somebody tough. So good luck to him in his next fight. I think he put himself in a really bad position by showing up way overweight for this Marvin Vettori fight. Let's get to UFC 267, if you don't mind. It's coming up on Saturday.
I don't mind. Go ahead, dude.
Good.
Feel free.
Good. I thought you might want to do that.
You know how hard it is typing with these gloves? You know how hard it is typing with these gloves?
Actually, I think it was Fred's parlay that came through. Fred gave us a two-fight parlay last week, and it came through, and
yes,
it was pretty good. Fred was the parlay winner last week. He gave you Alex Caceres, who was an underdog, and Marvin Vettori, who was the favorite, and that was his two-fight parlay, and they both came through. So Fred could have won you like 60-something, 80 bucks. I don't know. It's pretty good.
Nice, man. Fred, you always win with Ringside Report. Don't forget, if you need to bet, bet99.com.
You just have to choose which one, or just bet all of our parlays, and maybe it'll even out for you. I don't know.
Or just listen to us for Saturday's fight and just bet everybody that has an F as a last name in there, and you're going to win. Anything that says Dagestan or Russia or anything to that matter, man, they're winning. This is going to be a crazy fight, man, on Saturday. It's going to be a great card.
Angelo pointing out that first quarter of 2022, the UFC announced Ngannou versus Cyril Gane for the Unified Heavyweight Championship, which will be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. Cyril Gane all day. It's Gane time.
Oof. People don't realize that. They're like, ah, Ngannou's a beast. He's a beast. But if you know Gane and you've seen Gane fight, you realize how good this guy is. This guy is so well-rounded, man. He can go toe-to-toe with Ngannou, no problem. And people will be like, what are you talking about, AJ or Khabib or whatever you want to call yourself? I'm going to tell you something. Rumor has it, and a pretty strong rumor
has it.
Are
you going to say this again?
We said it in the past.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say it again.
Why do you repeat yourself constantly? You just say the same things over and over again.
We have new members and new subscribers.
You know what I need?
Come on.
You know
what
I need?
Come on, Yoshi. Listen,
Khabib,
tell you the truth.
Dolls. You know, I need like an AJ doll. Where I pull the string and he says one of your phrases, and then I don't need you anymore. I get an AJ doll with 10 phrases. Oh, I pull the string. Cyril Gane beat up Francis Ngannou in training. I pull the string. You got to give it to him. I pull the string. I once spent an afternoon in a sauna with Mackenzie Dern's father. Pull the string, you know? Marvin Vettori is going to be world champion. Pull the string. John Jones, picograms. Like, I just need a, you know, just
no,
a
no,
few...
no, you forgot one. You forgot one. The one that you're pulling is like, AJ almost went on a date with Angelina Jolie once. I said that story
that
today.
Was made up.
But no, it's not. It's real, man. If it wasn't for that old boyfriend there, what's his name there, Billy Bob Thornton, it would have been over, man.
If it wasn't for the guy that she was currently with, she would have definitely not given you the time of day. All right.
No. I had a Mazda 323 1986 at the time. Don't fool around.
I don't know what that
means. Didn't have automatic windows. You don't know that. Angelo knows. 1986, Mazda 3. Beautiful car. Couldn't, like, totally, like, non-automatic at all, man. You got to roll it up. It was beautiful. I love that car. I didn't care if it got stolen or not, but Angelo Jolie almost came with me in that car, bud. Long story. Hey, listen, I was going to say one thane. Let me finish what I was about to say about Gane, because some people don't know what I was going to finish with. Gane has already sparred with Ngannou. They were from the same gym in Paris. And rumor has it that Gane knocked the fuck out of Ngannou.
Oh, my God.
Gane is not afraid of Ngannou. And Ngannou knows it, too. He actually mentioned it on a few interviews where he was talking about, yeah, they sparred and they got a little, you know, heated. Because, you know, that's what happens when you spar. We're just as hard as an actual fight. He mentioned it, but he didn't say he got knocked out. But I know, AJ knows, Yoshi knows, Buzz Lightyear knows, and if you don't know who Buzz Lightyear is, you'll see soon. And I'm going to tell you.
Did you see that, by the way?
It was amazing, man.
The trailer for the Lightyear movie?
No, I thought you were talking about Freddy.
No.
He spent weeks, like, making his costume.
No.
Okay.
You didn't see the trailer
see
for the Lightyear movie?
No.
There's a movie...
It's not Toy Story.
No, it's not Toy Story. It's about Buzz Lightyear. It's like the origin story of Buzz Lightyear. But in the movie, he's not a toy. He's like a guy that I guess the toy is supposed to be based on. It's super weird. I was like, what the hell is this? They're not toys? They're people? Buzz Lightyear's a real guy? What the hell is this?
You can't do that.
You can't do that. I was offended.
You can't.
I want to see it, but I was offended.
I agree with you.
I didn't like it. All right, so speaking of Cyril Gane, AJ loves him because he met him a couple of times at some local MMA shows here.
He gave me his heavyweight belt. I carried it with Moses Marco.
Yeah,
how many fighters
pictures.
Do that shit? How many fighters?
He's
come
a
on,
good man. He was a nice
it.
Guy.
How many
Cyril,
fighters?
Okay,
he's the nicest
it.
Guy in the world.
Cyril was a nice guy, good guy. And if you're also looking for some more guys from Montreal, the Montreal area, well, Cyril's from France, but, you know, we claim him as our own. Another guy coming up on, I do believe it's going to be on Tuesday night for Dana White's Contender Series.
This guy is something, man.
Yoann,
keep your eye on this guy.
Yoann, the White Lion, Lainez.
My God, man.
He's going to be fighting. This is his big fight, eh? For he's fighting Justin Berlinson for the Dana White Contender Series coming up. And I think the fight is, I thought it was like the first...
The first
yeah,
match?
Yeah, yeah. It's the first. It was the first week in November. So it is coming up on Tuesday.
Oh.
The next Dana White Contender
yeah, yeah.
Series. The Contender Series on Tuesday, next Tuesday, November 2nd. Yoann, the White Lion, Lainez. You need to pay attention to this guy over Berlinson.
Oof.
I don't know if we can find odds on this fight, but I'm going to bet all the money I have in the world on the White Lion, Yoann Lainez.
Man.
Everything.
Dude, he's gone down to – listen, the White Lion, man, he's gone all over the place. He went down to New Jersey. Like, everybody – everywhere he goes, he wins. He wins championship belts. The guy is – he is
killer.
Something special.
Woo.
This guy is a killer, man.
He's
high-level
Muay
Thai. He trains with Lee Villeneuve, man, from Brazilian Top Team, a top-level jiu-jitsu guy in the world. And Lion, White Lion, is – he's an elite at – stand-up game, ground game, and he's got the heart of a lion.
Yeah.
And the guy is super nice guy. They're all nice guys, but when I say he's a super nice guy, he's a super nice guy. But when he comes to fight, he's coming for war. This is a name that's going to creep up to the UFC, I'm telling you, shortly.
Soon.
And we're going to start hearing another Quebec.
Give him a contract,
he's
Dana.
He's going to get a contract.
Give him a contract now.
Give it to him now.
Wait
just give it to
you
him
see
now.
What he does.
Forget about the fight.
Wait till you see what he
Man,
does.
You know
this
what?
Guy's a smashing machine. His stand-up is incredible,
he's
man. He fights with such fire. I love it. His fights are
Dude,
so good.
And he's grappling is top level. Like I said, man, he's being trained by Lee Villeneuve. And if you don't know who Lee Villeneuve is, they call him the Beast, man. This guy won Abu Dhabi World Championships as a brown belt, smashing black belts at the time. The guy is an absolute phenomenon. And you know what? If he didn't, it's a shame because if anybody other than George St. Pierre would have came out of Quebec, as
yeah.
one of the top MMA guys, it was that guy right there, Lee Villeneuve, with a 2-0 record where nobody in Canada wanted to fight him. And if you don't believe me, ask Dave Simon. Dave Simon's been in the game for the longest time, and we're not joking. So
I
since the guy couldn't
Lee,
make it to the UFC.
Seeing Lee at the
oh,
gym,
my
God, what a monster. What a beast that guy was. What a man, Lee
what
Villeneuve.
A beast, man.
Big respect for him. I remember
I
remember I was at, I think I saw all his whole MMA career. He had like two fights. I'm pretty sure I was at both of them. And my goodness,
dude, you can't
beating. What a beating he gave those guys. I felt bad for the guy standing
oh
across the cage from Lee. I was like, geez, man, this isn't fair. Lee's going to kill him. And then he did, and it was awesome. That guy, Lee Villeneuve, is one of the unsung heroes of Quebec MMA. The guy is an absolute legend. And if you're anywhere near the
Number
Quebec,
one.
The Quebec or probably Canadian jiu-jitsu scene, you know of or have been around Lee Villeneuve because that guy is – an absolute master. And now he's got his student, probably top student, I would assume, Yoann the White Lion Lainez. If the White Lion is not his top student, who is, right? My goodness. A lot of killers
well,
coming out
so
of there.
There's so many of them coming out of that
a lot
gym.
Of great, great gym, right? Great gym, a lot of talent. But Yoann Lainez, man, everything I've seen from him, incredible. He is the Cage Fury welterweight champion out in New Jersey. The guy is just beating everybody, and he's finally getting a big opportunity here on the Dana White Contender Series on Tuesday night. It's been circled on my calendar for quite some time. I'm looking forward to seeing the White Lion. I'm a big fan. So we wish him a lot of luck, all right? A lot of luck. Big respect from the Ringside Report crew. We're big fans of the White Lion. And we look forward to seeing him get that UFC contract on Tuesday night. It's going to be nice to see.
Wow.
I love seeing the
I'm
success
so
stories. You know, I love watching the success stories, seeing the guys years back and then watching them fight their way. And now on this Dana White Contender Series, you know, it's such a big night for him because it's a big fight. It's on TV. Everybody's going to be watching. And he possibly gets a UFC contract out of the deal that's, you know, completely life-changing for him. So it's a big deal, so I'm very excited for Yoann Lainez, one of the good guys, and I hope to see him have much success in the future in the UFC octagon. So cool. I know he's been training out at, I think it was Syndicate MMA.
Or yep, Extreme. He was at Syndicate.
Syndicate MMA out in Vegas, so
yep.
he's doing well out there, and and I look forward to see him kick some ass on Tuesday. Let's get to the UFC 267 card. We're gonna.
I was gonna say something.
What? You want to say more about White Lion?
No, I was just gonna say is the coolest part about it is if he gets a UFC contract, it'll give Lee Villeneuve the opportunity to finally get into the UFC, and you get to see the next star rising coach, man. And that's, to me, that's just as exciting. Knowing this guy, knowing him as an athlete, as from the same team, and seeing the capabilities of a man that was so put under the rug because of politics, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, man, Lee Villeneuve is coming with a team. And this guy
such
here is like the next, like, Winklejohn, man, like, of Quebec. I'm just saying, we have great teams here in Quebec. You know, we have great gyms, TriStar, Brazilian Top Team. You know all of them, not including, like, even the boxing gyms. Like, Montreal is a great hub for mixed martial arts, boxing, wrestling with the Montreal Wrestling Club. Some of the best athletes in Canada. We saw, like, James Mancini and whatnot. But the thing is that we don't get to see the coaches. And now I hope this coach and his team is his guy wins so we can see even more of this Lee Villeneuve and what he could bring to the Canadian fighting scene. I'm telling you, man, yeah. I'm excited. I hope it works out. I hope we don't come back next Thursday and say, man, it sucks.
No, I seriously
doubt it because this White Lion is something, man.
I'm convinced of it.
Listen, honestly, Dave, right, this is big words to say. But wait. This is big words to say, but he's close enough to say that he could be a name like George St. Pierre of the future.
Yeah, I think so. I think he might be one of he's one of the hopes for Canadian MMA for sure, Yoann Le Ness, and I think he's going to do very, very well for himself. And Lee Villeneuve, you can't say enough good things about the guy. Always such a friendly guy, too. Like, a killer, a great jiu-jitsu guy, a great fighter, just an absolute beast, monster, on the mats and stuff. But as far as, like, a gentleman, such a nice guy, so friendly.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, Dave.
He's, again, like one of the unsung heroes of the martial arts scene here in Canada, Lee Villeneuve.
Dave,
true gentleman.
They changed the name of jiu-jitsu, like Neon Belly, to Leon Belly.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, and I've grappled with Lee. I can tell you one thing. The closest I ever got to seeing God and, like, out of body experience, man, my body was out, was when I wrestled with Lee and he did a knee on belly on me, and I swear to God, if this was war, I knew that I was done. I couldn't even tap because it was incredible experience. This guy is something, man. Holy smokes.
The kind of guy that could kill you with
his bare
hands.
Did we pump him up enough?
The kind of guy that could kill you with his bare hands, and you respect him for doing it, and you shake his hand after and you say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping
a
super chat.
Thank you for hurting me.
Yes. Thank you for giving me that vicious beating. I appreciate it very much. I learned a lot. Thank you,
good,
sir.
I
much
came
respect.
Close to God. Thank you, Lee.
Yes, please.
You
that
know
was
crazy,
that
Dave?
Was frightening, and I love you for it.
Dave, you know what's crazy?
Martial arts is
that
weird,
Lee Villeneuve. It's crazy. But on top of it all, the guy is one of the top stuntmen here in Quebec.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a stuntman on the John Wick movies. He was, like, with Keanu Reeves, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Lee is in a lot of movies where he is that guy doing the craziest shit you can imagine. So imagine that. The guy is a top-level stuntman.
Good news for you, AJ. Patrick C. Hamilton drops a super chat, and he says he saw an ad for Proper 12 on the boards at the last Canadiens game, so he gets it's available in Quebec now.
What?
I think maybe they heard
our show, us complaining that there's no Proper 12, and they did it. I'm telling you, they're listening to us, Dave. I know they're listening to us. Because we mentioned it, and then it's on the Canadiens.
I got the SAQ app to search for it to see if it was ever available, like, around. Are you coming here on Saturday, by the way, for the pay-per-view?
What time is it at? It's at 2, I believe, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to be there. I got to go to a Halloween party after, so I'm going to be, like, ready to go right after the fight, man.
Apparently you can
buy
Proper 12 in some stores. I don't know which store.
Well, I'm going to go get it.
It's available.
Why don't you give us, like, some bottles, man? You're the freaking boss. Take care of your employees. Khabib, what Proper 12? No, Khabib don't want Proper 12. AJ wants Proper 12.
Well, if it's available.
Khabib, don't drink that shit.
If it's available anywhere near me, I'll go
what?
Buy it.
John,
I'll go
no,
buy
no. Come on. It's rebranded. Listen, you know what? I enjoyed Proper 12. Like I said last week's show, we were the first, and I can confirm this, we were the first show in Canada that was on air talking about Proper 12 Live. We did a taste testing. It came in straight from Ireland. Not a joke. Our buddy Wally, who has one of the best podcasts out there, Money to Burn, listen to Wally Burn. He brought that Proper 12 to Montreal. We were at TSN Studios. We drank it. We talked about it. And I actually enjoyed that, man. I really enjoyed that shit. That Proper 12, I liked it, man. I liked it. I really liked that Proper 12. It was good whiskey. Yeah.
So, look, I'll see what I can do. Apparently, there's some stores around Montreal that have bottles. So, maybe I can buy some for Saturday. Unless,
that would be awesome.
You know, we'll talk. Maybe you come over Saturday. We'll talk after the show, and we'll discuss what's going on. Thank you, Patrick.
When you reprimand me.
No, I have no reprimanding to do. I just have to talk to you about, whether or not it's safe for you to come for various reasons, and we'll talk about it. Patrick C. Hamilton, dropping a Super Chat. You are the Super Chat leader of the night right now. Patrick, thank you. Appreciate you, my man, out in Regina, getting us ready for Saturday afternoon, where we're going to be doing some day drinking, apparently, while watching the UFC pay-per-view. Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be here doing the watch-along with you. I'll be here. AJ will be here. Freddie will be here. We'll be doing a big UFC party. Let's get the UFC 267. Jan Blachowicz, Glover Teixeira. It's the main event.
Oof.
Jan Blachowicz right now is sitting minus 313 to favor Glover Teixeira, plus 240 the underdog. Seems about right to me. This might be one of the oldest title fights in the history of the UFC. Glover Teixeira, the oldest man, I think, to receive a title shot, 41 years of age. He has 41. run through the competition. He's won 5 in a row. His last fight was way back in November of last year when he beat Thiago Santos. He's taken a whole year off almost here. Jan Blachowicz has kept a little bit more active. He's a little bit younger, 38 years old. He beat Israel Adesanya in March of this year in his last outing. Jan Blachowicz also has won 5 in a row. His last loss, though, was to Thiago Santos, the man that Glover Teixeira just beat. However, I think those are two different versions of Thiago Santos. The 2019 version, February, and then the 2020 version, November. I do believe that's pre and post knee surgeries for Thiago Santos. So, you know?
Yep.
Different.
Yep.
Different versions. Different. And that MMA math doesn't always work out. I think this will be a good fight. But I just don't know. Glover Teixeira is very durable. He's got great jiu-jitsu. He's got heavy hands. He's got a good clinch game. He's good, man. He's very, very dangerous, but I just think Polish power is going to be a little too much. I think Polish power is going to be a little too much for Glover Teixeira, and I think that he puts it on him and hurts him and might put Glover away. I think this fight could end quick. Glover, he's a durable guy. He might take a beating for a while, but I think it's going to be Jan Blachowicz as the hammer, Glover Teixeira as the nail. I think one guy is going to be doing the beating, and the other guy is going to be taking the beating, and it's just going to depend on how much beating can Glover Teixeira take. I think, Glover might land a couple shots on Jan Blachowicz, and I think that's where he's got the opportunity to win. If he lands a big punch, he could do it. He's got power. He could finish him. Any good Glover Teixeira punch landed right on the button. If he lands the right strike, he could definitely hurt Jan Blachowicz. But I think Jan, a little bit too crafty for that. I think he's going to put it on Glover Teixeira. I think it's going to be pretty vicious, actually. I think Glover might get hurt in this fight. So I got Jan Blachowicz by knockout, and I think it probably happens within the first 3 rounds.
Look, man, Glover Teixeira is like vintage, man. 41 years old. He's been always like hovering around that light heavyweight, division. He's always there, man. He's like the gatekeeper that gets close to the belt. Going back to the gatekeeper, the guy is amazing. But he's 41 years old. There's a lot of wear and tear. You can see how slow he is, man. As a wrestler, as a boxer, you can see that he slowed down. Always dangerous. His biggest problem is his chin. And when you got somebody like Jan coming in with his magic rope, and his heavy hands, and look, he's so underrated. I don't understand why. The guy is amazing, man. That Polish power usually knocks out people in the first 10 minutes. Like in 10 minutes of fighting with Jan, you're going down. And that's what's going to happen. I think Glover, I would have loved to see him when he first came into the UFC, man. Everybody was like, wow, who is this guy? And he's a future champion and he's dangerous and dangerous and dangerous. But now here we are now in 2021. He's 41 years old. I think the time has come, Dave. And you know what? He might retire after this fight. I'm not sure how many fights he has on the contract left. I think this is the last one. But regardless, you know, the guy has been like legendary in the UFC. The guy has been so exciting, and he's still there, and he's fighting. But Jan has something that he doesn't have, and it's that magic rope.
Magic rope.
That magic
That's
rope.
What you
ever
need
since
for fighting.
He's had
Everybody
it,
knows.
Especially on Halloween, man. You're coming to Halloween with a magic rope.
Tough.
You're unstoppable, bud. If people don't know what we're talking about, research it.
How do you see this fight
Jan's
ending?
Jan's magic rope.
Jan Blachowicz by knockout +105 over at bet99.com. Jan Blachowicz by KO. +105,
yep.
So you could get in on that. I think also Glover Teixeira by KO +750 might be worth a shot because it's possible. You know, put a couple bucks
on
there.
Nah, it's not happening, dude.
I mean,
nah,
plus
no, save your money, man. Put it on the Russians, put it on Dagestan, and put it on Jan. And you know, comments are coming in, and Polish power, man. And he hurts. And like somebody was saying, is you know, the pain stays long when you fight Jan, and he's absolutely right.
That's what
right.
I was
John, like you said it best.
It's going to be a
beating.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be a beating, and he hurts you, man, and he wears you down. And that's the thing with Glover is that he slowed down so much. Even though he's fighting for a title, he's not the same guy, man, years back. And he's coming up against Jan, who's just, like, he knows he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he is. It's going to be a knockout, in my opinion. I don't know where
it's
going to go.
Ugly.
It's not going to go. Not going to go the distance. It's not going the distance.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I think Glover's
going to
gas out, you know, around the third, fourth, and it's going to be lights out, you know?
Well, the odds
Bedtime
don't have
Bozo,
it. Odds don't
Bozo,
have it.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Odds don't have it going the distance, AJ. Yes. Will the fight go the distance? Yes. +150. No. -225. So the odds definitely favor a finish in this fight. We've got Jan Blachowicz, Glover Teixeira in the main event. This is a sick card top to bottom. We've got some great prelim fights. The main card is absolutely stacked. This is what we've been waiting for a long time, kind of some lackluster UFC events for a while. This is a good one. Piotr Jan versus Corey Sanhagen is the co-main event. Piotr Jan coming off that controversial loss by disqualification with the illegal knee there to Aljamain Sterling. Some sort of brain fart
Sucks.
For Piotr Jan. He takes on Corey Sanhagen, who's coming off a split decision loss to TJ Dillashaw. And this is an interim bantamweight title fight. So this is kind of a, you know, consolation prize for everybody involved. Piotr Jan wanted to fight Aljamain Sterling to get that belt back, but Aljamain has neck injuries, and he's still out of action. Corey Sanhagen lost to TJ Dillashaw in his last fight, but Dillashaw is injured, so he's out of action. So, okay, Sanhagen, you get to fight for the interim bantamweight championship. This is an interesting fight. You know, Piotr Jan is a little bit smaller than Sanhagen. Sanhagen is long. He's rangy. He's dangerous. He's got knockout power. He could surprise some people here, but I don't think he will. I think Piotr Jan is going to is going to outbox, out-wrestle, outdo Corey Sanhagen. I think Piotr Jan is just a little too quick. I think his footwork's a little too good. And I think he's going to beat Corey Sanhagen. -225, the favorite. Sanhagen, +180, the underdog. I'm going with Piotr Jan in this one. I was really impressed with his fight against Aljamain Sterling. Showed a whole other level, despite the loss by disqualification. I don't think he makes that mistake again. He was well on his way to beating Aljamain Sterling. I think he beat Sanhagen, too.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like, they don't call him No Mercy for no reason. You're right. That was a mental fart that made him lose that fight. It won't ever happen again. I don't know why he did what he did, but you know what? When you're so into it, he's like a robot, this guy. But when you're looking at boxing, man, he's one of the best boxers in MMA. You know, Sanhagen is an amazing striker. This is going to be a fight of the night. It's going to be wild. But Piotr Jan, man, the guy, he just doesn't stop. He's going to go in there. And I love Sanhagen, man. His grappling skills, I love to see him fight. He has this weird body, but he comes out and he always has like a cool performance, man. You
weird
never
body.
Walk away from one of his fights. Yeah, he's got this weird body, man. This like lanky body type where you're like, oh, this poor guy's going to get smashed. But they don't know Sanhagen. So when you see him, You're like, no way. But when he fights, you're like, holy shit, who is this guy? Unfortunately, he's going up against Peter Yan. And I think Peter Yan is coming in to redeem himself from that last fight, which he definitely was going to win. And he's going to be back on top. And unfortunately, Sanhagen is going to be that piece that gets him that pie. And that's it. Easy
All
win,
right.
man. Peter
Easy.
Yan.
Should be Pyotr Yan victory. Islam Makhachev takes on Dan Hooker.
Oof.
Hooker coming off a win over Nazarek Haqparast. Islam Makhachev is what now? 18-20-1. My God. He's got a bunch of wins in a row. He has been knocked out before. Second UFC fight, Adriano Martins knocked him out, but that was way back in 2015. But it does show you that, you know, Hooker could be dangerous. He could land that shot and put Makhachev away. I don't think he does, though. I think Makhachev does what Makhachev does. Takes you down and smothers you. I think he does it for three rounds, but does not finish Dan Hooker. I think this one goes a distance. I got Islam Makhachev winning by Islam Makhachev smothering, classic Dagestani style, Khabib style. He smothers Hooker for three rounds, beats him on points. Islam by decision.
Look, man, Islam is like the future. He's like Khabib 2.0. I mean, Hooker took this fight on last minute, man. And usually when you're going to go last minute up against a Dagestanian, you're cooked. And Hooker's a great fighter and all, but Islam is going to exactly do what you said. He's going to smother him, take him to the ground, and wish he didn't take this fight. But I'm going to disagree with you that it's going to go the distance. He's going to do what Khabib does. He's going to submit him with a rear naked choke. It's going to be over. Islam is coming to show something, and he's going to do it on Saturday.
The only reason I say Islam does not finish Dan Hooker is because it takes him a little bit longer to finish guys. You know, it took him into the third round to finish Drew Dober. It took him into the fourth round to finish Thiago Moises in his last fight. And I think Dan Hooker is game enough that he won't be finished by submission in three rounds. I think he'll be able to withstand that. But you might be right. You might be right. Islam could get that. He's got a variety of chokes from top position, a nice arm triangle that he works from, and I think he might be able to get that in. But I'm going with Islam by decision. Alexander Volkov versus Marcin Tybura, I think, is a real interesting fight here at heavyweight. I know Volkov is the favorite, but I'm not so sure. I could see Marcin Tybura pulling this one off. Marcin is dangerous. He's on a win streak. Volkov is coming off that loss to Ciryl Gane. Ciryl, of course, is a legend in the making, but man, Marcin Tybura is no joke. He's a dangerous fighter. He's got good wrestling. He's durable. I might be going with the underdog here, Tybura. I think I've got
Oof,
Tybura.
I'm surprised,
Tybura
Dave.
Plus 240, Volkov minus 313. I've never been super convinced by Alexander Volkov. I'd go with Tybura as the underdog plus 240, but I'm not putting him on my parlay. All right,
man. Like, these two guys are on the top 10 heavyweights. I'm surprised you're going with Tybura. Not that Tybura is anything to laugh about, but Volkov, man, this guy, like, his striking game is amazing. You know, and Tybura doesn't have the wrestling game to take down Volkov, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to end up standing. Volkov is going to keep this game standing, and he's going to overwhelm him, man. Tybura is shorter. He's slower, man. And yeah, he might be a little bit more powerful if he's able to get Volkov down, which is Volkov's takedown defense is there. Tybura is going nowhere. The only way he's going is down on the canvas floor. If he doesn't get knocked out, it's going the distance. Volkov is going to win this regardless. There's no way Tybura. I'm surprised you went with Tybura, Dave. What the hell, man?
I don't know. I'm going with it. Next
right.
fight, I think we all know where we're going. Khamzat Chimaev takes
Oof.
On Li Jinglang. Khamzat has been out for
like
over a year because of COVID. Li is good. Li is dangerous. He knocked out Santiago Ponzinibbio in his last fight. However, Khamzat seems like he's on another level. He could win fights at middleweight. This fight is going to be at welterweight. He has been out for a while, but I don't think that's really going to affect him. I think that he's ready now.
You
it's
never
been,
know, man.
It's been
Listen.
A year. You're really what? You're going against Khamzat? Khamzat is 9-0.
No,
he
I'm not.
Like an absolute killer. He's a huge
beast.
Favorite going into this fight, as he should be.
But
you know, Khamzat -600, Li Jinglang +400.
Look, the thing with Khamzat, just before he got hit with COVID, I mean, there was a certain point where we were all talking and everybody in the media was like, I don't think he's ever coming back. His COVID was so bad
he
that
said.
He completely disappeared off.
He
yeah,
retired.
He completely disappeared off the radar. He retired. I mean, we were saying, like, what the happened to Khamzat? So much potential, future champion, and he's gone. Something is weird. That's when, like, in the MMA community, people were talking, maybe this shit is serious. COVID is dangerous because Khamzat is gone. And here he is again, but it's a year later. Was it true that COVID really affected his health, his lung capacity, like people were saying? We don't know. The thing with Khamzat prior COVID, no one could touch him. This is his first fight back. I mean, I don't know what to say. Not that Li Jiangling is any chump change. This guy, man, when he has a good fight, he's super dangerous. He can knock you out, man. He's fast. He's quick. He's got those long arms, those long limbs. He's dangerous. This is going to be a good fight. But I want to go with Khamzat, but this might be one of the fights where I might actually like stand back and say, I don't know, man. I'm so worried about like what COVID did to this man, because I haven't seen too much of his fighting camp. I just don't know, dude. But look, I'm still going to put him on my parlay for Khamzat to win, because I'm going to pretend he didn't have COVID. But we just don't know, man. It was just a weird time where he was just gone. He retired. For anybody to retire in the position that he was in, it must have been serious. Did he recover enough? Did the Russian doctors do what they could to bring him back to the million-dollar man? We'll see Saturday. But, man, I'm not sure.
I think so. I'm all
Khamzat. It's weird. It's weird.
I don't know. Hearing him talk this week at the press conferences, he seems very ready. Khamzat is ready to go. He is Khamzat time. It's good. Magomed Ankalaev, you better not waver with me on this one. Future champion of the division. Everybody's talking about, oh, Jiří Procházka. This guy is the backup for the light heavyweight title fight, and Jiří Procházka is going to get the next title shot. Maybe you should pump the brakes on all that before you see what Magomed Ankalaev does to Volkan Ozdemir on Saturday afternoon. Magomed Ankalaev is the future of this division. I've been saying it for a very long time. The big title shot, the big title fight is going to be Jiří Procházka versus Magomed Ankalaev. I do believe that they will fight for the world championship at some point in 2022. I believe Jan Blachowicz will be defeating Glover Teixeira on Saturday afternoon. And then Jiří Procházka will get the next shot at Jan Blachowicz. Jiří Procházka will knock Jan Blachowicz unconscious. And then we will have the Jiří Procházka Magomed Ankalaev world title fight at 205 pounds at some point in 2022. And that will be the fight. I got Magomed all day, every day, in every fight, including the Procházka fight, including the Ozdemir fight, including all his fights. Because Ankalaev is the truth. The fact that he's only minus 313, the underdog, whereas Khamzat Chimaev is minus 600, Islam Makhachev is minus 650, you know, the fact that Magomed is only minus 313, I think is a disrespect to Magomed. The guy is a lock. He's beating Volkan Ozdemir either by decision or by knockout. He's beating this guy all day, every day. Volkan Ozdemir is good. He's tough. But Jiří Procházka knocked him out last year, and Magomed Ankalaev will likely knock him out this year. I've got Magomed. Let's go. That's my guy. Of all the guys in the UFC, there's nobody that I'm behind more. There's no prospect that I'm more impressed by, impressed with than Magomed Ankalaev. He's the man. I'm impressed with Jiří Procházka, but not like Magomed. Magomed is the man.
Look, you've been calling Magomed for years, like way before anybody knew who he was or what he was capable of. You called it. You said he would be up on top of the podium with the belt at one point. I'm so behind you on this. I didn't know him much back when you were talking about him, but I grew to know him. And let me tell you, man, this guy is one dangerous dude. You know, not that Ozdemir is a respectable fighter, man, a respectable veteran fighter in the UFC. He's done amazing things in the UFC. But you know what? He's on a decline. And you don't want to be on a decline coming up to fight a guy like Magomed. The thing is that it's going to be sick. You know, it's going to be a big win for the Dagestanian. If he gets it, man, it's a big, big win. But, man, he's coming in, and he's going to perform this guy. I can feel it, man. It's going to be – it's not going to go more than two rounds. I think it's going to be a TKO first, maybe second if it gets there. But I'm really looking at it. A first round, Magomed's going in there, and he's going to slice this guy apart.
Yep, I like Magomed by knockout.
That's
I think
how
Magomed
dangerous he
finishes
is,
him. He's amazing. Look, you don't have to convince me,
he's
man.
He's a future champ, man.
That's right. And he's opening up the pay-per-view.
He's a future champ.
This pay-per-view is stacked with future champions. I think we have future champions with Khamzat Chimaev, with Islam Makhachev, and with Magomed Ankalaev in their respective weight divisions. I think Islam is a future champ at 155. I think Khamzat's a future champ at 170. And I think that Magomed is a future champ at 205. I really do. Khamzat is going to have a tough time getting through Usman, though. I think Khamzat's going to have the toughest challenge. I think Magomed and Islam have a pretty easy route to the championship right now. I also think that Amanda Ribas is a potential future title challenger. I've been very impressed with Amanda Ribas, and she's taking on Verna Jandaroba in the final prelim fight of the night before we get to the main card. I'm a big fan of Amanda Ribas. The fact that she's only minus 167, the favorite, is a little bit surprising. Jandaroba plus 136. And I'm going to give you something that I don't usually give you, AJ. I'm going to give you something crazy, okay? You usually do the mega parlays. I'm going to give you Dave's parlay. Team Dave is a six-fight
six
parlay.
Are you going the AJ
six.
Route? What the hell, man?
Go
this is
hard.
A first, ladies and gentlemen.
Go in hard. On everybody. We got
Send me location.
Jan Blachowicz, minus 313. Piotr Jan, minus 220. Islam Makhachev, minus 650. Khamzat Chimaev, minus 567. Magomed, minus 300. Amanda Ribas, minus 167. That's $20. That'll get you $111.22. I mean, it's a crazy parlay, but I do believe everybody's going to win these fights. I mean,
how much does it give you? Tell me. $20. How much does it give you?
$20 gets you $111.
Wow.
Over at bet99.com. Okay. Use the promo code ringside when you sign up. I mean, it's not the biggest payout for a six-fight parlay because a lot of these fighters are huge, huge favorites. But they're huge favorites for a reason, I think. I think most of these huge favorites are going to come through and win. I think they're as good as locks. And when you put a lot of these people together, you know, in a parlay, that's when you can make a little bit of money off these kind of slam dunk victories. Like, I think Jan Blachowicz over Glover Teixeira is pretty much a slam dunk. But, I mean, you want to talk about locks. I think that Chimaev and Ankalaev and Amanda Ribas are, like, guarantees. I think Makhachev is pretty close to a guarantee. You know, like, Chimaev, Ankalaev, Ribas, locks. Makhachev, Jan Blachowicz, I think they win, but I could see them also losing somehow, you know? But I can't see Ribas, Ankalaev, or Chimaev losing at all. I don't see it. What do you got for me?
All right. Well, pretty much almost the same, but I've got – obviously, I'm going with Jan with my 6-5 parlay. I'm going to go with
Piotr
Jan
or Jan Blachowicz?
I'm going with Jan Blachowicz.
Okay.
And Piotr Jan.
Okay, the two Yans.
Exactly. You never,
and?
How can you not go with the Yans, man? Polish
I went
power,
with
Russian
them.
Power. Okay, and then I'm going to go with Islam. I'm going to go with Volkov on this one, which I don't understand why you're going tomorrow. But
I didn't put him on my parlay. I didn't put him on my parlay.
I thought you put him on.
No,
okay,
I didn't put
so
him
I'm
on my
So I'm going with
parlay.
Volkov. All right. So then I'm going to go with Khamzat, even though I'm still reluctant. I'm telling you, man, this is the fight that's going to, like, scare me because I know Magomed is going to win. Magomed wins and Khamzat wins. My parlay is winning. I'm telling you. And obviously I'm going with Magomed.
So that's your parlay. What is it? 5 fights?
You know what? I'm going to go a little bit crazy today because you went with 6. I'm going to go with 7.
What?
I'm going to go with Ribas on this because just put Ribas in there. Can you go back and do it, or you can't?
Yeah, I can do whatever I want. Ribas.
Well, that's
who
what
else?
You get with Bet99, man. That's it, man.
That's...
So it's a 7-fight parlay.
Oh, yeah, that is
how
seven
many?
Fights.
That's 7 fights.
Jeez.
Yeah, bud.
Cool.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then comes 7.
I understand.
Six. Don't mess around with Khabib.
So there's Team AJ. He's
when
got
Khabib
Piotr,
says 7, it's 7.
Piotr Jan, Jan Blachowicz, the two Jans, the
Peter.
Islam, the Volkov, the Khamzat, the Magomed, he's got Ribas, and $20 gets you $143.12. AJ, 7-fight parlay. Good God Almighty, Team AJ. All right.
Dagestan. Listen, man, you know what? And that's the craziest part, man. Like, Dagestan, like, you know, holy smokes. Imagine all the fighters coming in the years to come from that part of the world. It's ridiculous. They have the most champions, man, in wrestling, grappling, boxing, MMA. I mean, what the heck do they eat out there? I mean, these guys have been wrestling bears at 7 years old, and it's true, man. These guys are born to fight. And man, a lot of respect, man. Like, Khabib is, man, what greatest fighter of all time, man. He really is number one. And I'm surprised John Jones tried to dispute that. Like, seriously, Jones, get that out of here. Khabib, number one.
All right. Well, there you
Johnny
go.
North's on the Johnny
What's up,
North's here
Johnny?
tonight. Whoa. Where's Johnny's costume? Let me guess. A pro wrestler, oiled down, Johnny North, man, best wrestler in Canada. Listen, I was watching AEW, by the way. I was watching CM Punk fight. Man, I love CM Punk. But I'm telling you, our own Johnny North, man, who we saw wrestling, who brought us so many views on TikTok, on Instagram, he did this crazy move outside of the ring, Johnny North, where he slammed the guy outside of the ring. You saw that, right, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I want to see Johnny
The
North in
cutter.
AEW. Doesn't make sense because he could smash all of those guys. Johnny could smash everybody, and Khabib will be his manager or
Cool.
Ali Abiz.
Well, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all the
Johnny
things.
North, number one.
Come back to us tomorrow night because Johnny North will be with me, and we'll be talking about AEW Rampage that we'll be watching at the time. There's going to be a trick or treat match, Britt Baker and Abaddon. You'll also see somebody else wrestle. I forget who. Oh, Bryan Danielson, I think. Isn't he wrestling Eddie Kingston tomorrow? That's tomorrow, right? That'll be good. I love Bryan Danielson. That's cool. So 10 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll be talking about SmackDown as well that we will have seen at that point. So WWE SmackDown, AEW Rampage, all the wrestling talk you can handle on a Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Ringside Report Network. Myself and Big Johnny North. Who says he's better than everybody in AEW, which
He
can't
is.
dispute.
I
He's
agree
the
with that,
best.
man.
He's the best
Listen,
wrestler I
he is,
know.
man. Listen, I'm not saying that because, I taught everything to Johnny that I know. I'm just telling you as a heavyweight champion that Johnny North is and whatnot. I've seen him fight. I've trained Johnny. I've given him all my skills. And I'm going to tell you something. Johnny is so much more exciting
You've
than a
trained
lot of those
Johnny.
guys. Listen, Dave, don't let the cat out of the bag, man. Johnny's gonna get mad.
I think I'm the
That's
only
a
one that's
different
trained
story.
Johnny in any kind of jiu-jitsu. I've actually rolled around with Johnny. I choked him out at one time by accident.
Well, you remember, actually, listen, we're
You ever
gonna go
hear
back
that
to
story
a
where I put
story.
him in a triangle and he fell
Yeah.
asleep by accident?
Well, that's okay. You're allowed to, man. You
It
gotta know how
happens.
it feels, man. Listen, Johnny's gotta know how it feels, man.
I
All the
didn't mean
best
to
have gone to
put him to
sleep, man.
sleep, but he's
Listen,
supposed to tap or
but.
say something, you can't just sit there in it. Oh
Johnny,
well.
Johnny
I
don't
still
tap to
feel bad.
nobody, man. Johnny don't feel bad. Johnny don't tap to nobody, man. He's like the Nogueiras, man. They don't tap. They get their shoulders snapped,
That's
and
true.
that's it, man. I lost my arm, but I never tapped. And he's right. He never tapped in his career. But I was gonna say, remember the time when we were on TSN and we're out on the streets, and you like picked up Johnny and you lifted him off your shoulders? So if
Yeah.
people don't know, like Johnny North is a big heavyweight, but Dave Simon here on TRT. Maybe like I don't know,
Hey,
cocaine was in his body. I'm not sure
hey,
if that. I'm just
I've
saying.
never done TRT or cocaine, my friend. All right, take it easy. I've never
I'm
done
just
either of
saying,
those
man.
drugs. I'm
Listen,
just
man.
jacked.
You
I'm
impressed me,
naturally
man. You
strong. I'm very
listen,
strong.
and we have a photo of that to prove that Dave actually picked up Johnny and lifted him up in the air. It's on our Instagram page or TikTok page. Look for a Ringside Report.
And
You'll
I
scroll
squatted, dude.
down,
Don't
keep
forget,
putting likes.
I put him up in
Yeah, man, it
fireman's
was
carry,
impressive.
and I did a full squat with him. He's like over 200
And you
pounds.
lifted him
Put him in
up.
fireman's carry. He did post up on my shoulder. He gave me a little help, good brother that Johnny is. He's a good brother.
No,
He's always
but
helping out,
you
brother.
still did it, dude. I'm like, damn, Dave must be on some serious like rails like John Jones, because how the hell did he do that? I was
I'm
impressed.
strong. I can pick you up over
I
my
was wearing
shoulders
my
too, no problem.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm lighter than Johnny, so for sure you can. But I was gonna say is that was the day when I ran as George St. Pierre in the streets of René-Lévesque. That was a great time, man. I loved it.
Johnny
Didn't
says he
get hit by
takes
a car,
other
by the way.
substances.
No, that doesn't give you strength, man. Those gummy bears, I doubt
AJ,
it.
AJ,
Yo, bro.
I got three things for you, okay? You tell me what they have in
Oh, no, don't
common.
tell me to.
You tell three
Let
things. You
me
tell me
see.
what they have in
Okay,
common, okay?
okay. You tell me, Yoshiki. Say it to Khabib.
Jan Blachowicz. Mm-hmm. Glover Teixeira. And a big bag of weed.
Yeah. And a big bag of weed. Super duper KO artist.
Three things that John Jones was absolutely smoke. Boom!
Weed?
Real light heavyweight champion, John Jones. What's up? Saturday afternoon. We'll be talking mad shit.
What? Get the hell out of here, Mr. Picograph.
Let's be real. Let's be real. If John Jones was in he's the real light heavyweight champion. We all know it. Nah. We all know he's the real king of the 205s.
Boo.
If he was fighting Jan Blachowicz or Glover Teixeira, he'd beat the shit out of them. Don't forget when John Jones did beat the shit out of Glover Teixeira. Never forget, John Jones is the king. He smokes weed. He smokes fighters. He does cocaine. He does whatever he wants. He's the greatest ever. He's also a piece of shit human being. But hey. He's the real 205 champion.
I was gonna say he robbed.
And I just said that to rub it in your face. Like,
you know what? He doesn't do picograms anymore. He does pacograms. And I'm gonna tell you what. John Jones, I like John Jones.
No, you don't.
And I would have liked him a lot. I do. I like him as a fighter. I'm a little bit confused on his lifestyle and the way he portrays himself, because he could have been the greatest of all time. I'm not no puppet master here. I'm telling you the truth, man. Nobody's controlling me. I'm just telling you that. It's too bad that John Jones wasn't a better – I'm not saying that, you know, this role model shit. You have to be a role model. No, right. I'm just trying to say as a good ambassador to the sport, you know.
Angelo
Contagonis.
It's not
good like getting into accidents with pregnant women and robbing them or whatever
he
did. I don't know.
Angelo Contagonis dropping the super chat. He says, great show tonight, guys. Hope you guys have a good time Saturday afternoon. We'll be watching. Thank you, Angelo. We will have a
Are you okay there? Yoshi, what the hell? Did it come out of your ass or what? What was that?
Oh, that was an egg. That was an egg. we will have a good time. We'll be back here Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time for the UFC 267 watch-along. We'll be having fun. We'll be eating candy. We'll be talking trash. Freddie will be back with us. The whole gang will be together. And Angelo, of course, with that super chat, is once again the super chat leader of the night. Thank you, Angelo, my friend. Always leading the pack. Thank you, Patrick C. Hamilton, the OG of the Ringside Report Network. What up, Jason Pete, out in Mexico? My friend. Arriba, Jason Pete! Arriba.
Jason Mexico! Narcos
Mexico comes out, I think, the new season next week. Very pumped for that. It's going to be great. Shout out to Lior, member of the team.
Wait.
Angelo, member of the team.
Whoa.
Patrick,
hold on,
member
a second.
Of the team.
Jason. I was going to say Jason. Like, he should give a shout out on the team that he's training with in Mexico, man. Like, you know, he's always on. He's training. He should give a shout out. We'll promote you guys, man. Khabib don't joke around. What is it?
So I'll be back tomorrow night with Johnny. And then AJ and Freddie and I will be back here Saturday afternoon. 2 p.m. Eastern time to watch
Paul?
The UFC pay-per-view with us. I don't think Paul will be there. Might be, though. I don't know. I'm going to get the new Mario party tomorrow.
You can dress up as Fred.
Very excited about the new Mario party. You know, as Yoshi, I'm very, very pumped for the new Nintendo stuff. And I hope everybody has a happy Halloween. Trick-or-treat safely. Have a good time. And come to my house because I got full-size bars. I've got AJ, you have no idea.
Easy, Dave. You can get arrested there. I don't want any of your full-size bars close to me when I come on Saturday.
I went to the store. I went crazy. I got 24 packs of M&Ms, and not the small M&Ms like this. This is just for me. I got one of these Mars packs just for me. I got 24 packs of the big-size M&Ms that you get in the Depeneur, you know, like regular size. So I give those out.
Give your address, man.
And I'm not
giving out your address.
Well, I'm not doing that. Just be on the lookout. If you see a guy in a Yoshi costume, you know, follow that man because it might be me. And you want to come to my house. I got full-size Nerds boxes. I got Starburst gummies. I got everything.
Ooh,
my
Starburst.
House is
I like
stacked. And if you come over on Saturday, AJ, to watch the pay-per-view, we can eat a bunch of this candy I have. I got M&M peanuts. I got the little Mars bars. I got all the candies. I got lots of shit.
I love
We're
that.
Having fun. So
like
happy
diabetes.
Halloween, everybody.
Here we go.
Thank you for listening to some serious MMA talk. Thank you for watching a man. Swear at his friend about fighting in his Yoshi costume. I thought that was fun.
Send me location! Johnny North!
Yoshi!